AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And so we have this tale, and we have these characters in the story. When we look at the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, we find that this story that's in the Quran, part of it, part of the identities of these characters or clues as to where and who they are given to us. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة المهدين وسلم تسليما السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brother and companion Junaid
wa alaikum salam rahmatullahi wa barakatuh father thank you so much for having me it's a great honor
and the honor is all mine thank you for joining me today I want to talk to you about the story of the righteous servant and Moses it's one of the most profound stories that exist in the Holy Quran And it is actually perhaps the only story in the Quran concerning Moses so that we do not find a trace of it in the Holy Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. You cannot find this story. You can find the stories of Moses approaching Pharaoh. You can find the story of Moses' mother putting him into the basket. All of this exists in the Torah, but this particular story of Moses and the righteous servant is exclusive to the Holy Quran and to Islam. And it's one of those stories that have mystified and confused people over the centuries since the time that the Quran has come down, and in it are very profound meanings and lessons. According to the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, alayhi salam, and you can kind of puzzle together the story by looking through the various traditions and the various sayings of the imams over time. In one particular narration, it gives a prequel or a backstory to what led up to the events of the journey of Moses and the righteous servant. And it all started off, according to the Imam, after Moses had crossed the Red Sea and he had gone into Sinai and he had performed the great miracle of the splitting of the sea, which everybody knows to this very day and is a hallmark of the prophethood of Moses, alayhi salam. The Torah comes down and the law comes down upon Moses. He receives the Ten Commandments. He receives wisdom and understanding. And he thinks to himself at that point that he is the most intelligent, the most wise, and the most knowledgeable of all of God's creation. Now, this thought, this fleeting thought that struck Moses in his heart, became a very big issue. And it was at that very moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Gabriel, saying to him, verily Moses has been destroyed. And he commands him to come down upon Moses and to reprimand him and to test him. And that is precisely what Gabriel alayhi salam does. He descends down upon Moses and he informs him that my Lord has said that you have been destroyed. and that you think that you are the most wise and the most knowledgeable of all his creation. Thus you have thought to yourself that you are better than God's creatures. The Lord commands you to meet him at this particular place, at this particular time, and you are commanded to bring with you someone or something that you are better than. And so Moses now has this mission. And now Moses is panicking and he's upset. And he doesn't know how to fulfill the command that God had commanded him to. And he begins to wander on the earth amongst his companions, amongst his people. And he would look to the left and to the right. And he would see, he would look upon one of the men in his camp. And he would think to himself, maybe I'm better than him. He committed certain mistakes or he committed certain sins. And then he would reflect over the sin which he had made by thinking that he is better than somebody else and how he had angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he would think to himself, well, actually, I'm not better than him at all. He's actually better than me. And he would disregard that individual. And it would happen again and again and again until the sun went down and his eyes were directed upon a dog that was walking in the camp. And it was a diseased dog. And he's staring at it for a while. He thought to himself, well, surely Moses, the prophet of God, must at least in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be better than an impure, diseased dog. And so he places his rope around the neck of the diseased dog and he begins to go forward to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the appointed time and location. Yes. But it was on his way, as he was looking at the dog, that he became panicked and he thought to himself, how can I even regard myself better than this diseased dog? At the very least, this diseased dog did not commit the mistakes that I have committed. And so he unleashed the dog and he went forward and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without anyone. And when he met God, God told Moses, he asks him, why have you not brought anyone with you as I have commanded you to? Why do you approach me alone? Moses responded back and said, I have not found a single creature on the face of the earth that I am better than. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds back to him and tells him, if you had brought back anybody, or if you had brought with you even that diseased dog, I would have erased your name from the list of the prophets and the messengers, and you would have been destroyed. And so Moses passed the first test. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not done with disciplining Moses and with teaching him the lessons that he wished to teach him. And so to further destroy the ego that had risen inside of Moses and to show him that there does exist other creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that are more knowledgeable than him, he commands him to go forward and to take his youth and to meet a righteous servant of the Lord at the junction of the two seas. And that is where our story begins. The Quran states that Moses takes his youth and he goes forward. They prepare lunch. And they go and they are determined. And Moses actually says that he's not going to stop even until death, except that he shall reach this junction of the two seas as God had given them the command to do so. So he's very determined to go forward and to meet this individual that is more knowledgeable than he is. And they move forward. And they stop at a particular location for a rest and for a nap. And they go to sleep. And as they go to sleep, the Quran states that the fish that they had brought as a lunch it began to flop and it found its way into the sea. So now we know that they were walking along the seaside and the fish came alive and managed to escape into the sea. They didn't take notice of that. And they woke up and they continued to walk along the path. They reached a certain distance and then Moses asked his youth to bring forward the lunch, to where the youth realizes that the lunch was not there anymore. He said, I must have forgotten it. It was the shaitan that made me forget it. I must have forgotten it. And so they decide that they're going to go back to the area where they lost the lunch. And Moses realizes, actually, that this event that took place, he notices that this event that took...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Place, as small as it was, and as in the apparent was unrelated to the mission which was at hand, he realizes that it had everything to do with it, and that was God's way of speaking to them, to inform them that they had missed the location that they were looking for. And in fact, the place where the fish had left them was the place where they were meant to meet the righteous servant. And so Moses realizes at that point that a dead fish had succeeded in that which he and his youth had failed to do. The dead fish was successful in finding the location of the righteous servant, the location that God had sent them to, while they themselves had failed. And that the fish was more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than they themselves were. And that's a very profound lesson, that a fish would be more obedient than a messenger. And it just goes to show that you can't think that you are better than anyone or anything, no matter what its appearance is or what form or shape it does it take. And so they go back to the location, and there they find a man who is standing there. And a type of conversation takes place between Moses and the man. And the man is hesitant in the apparent to allow Moses to accompany him at first. And he says to him, you're not going to be able to handle being with me. And Moses tells him, no, I promise that I will. And if I object, then you can dismiss me. And the righteous servant accepts and places these certain conditions on Moses in order that he may accompany him. And he tells him that if you are to accompany me, then no matter what it is that you see, don't ask me about it. Be patient and don't ask me about it until I'm the one who mentions it to you. And so this covenant is established between the two of them, this agreement, that if you're going to come with me and obtain knowledge, then don't interfere in my work and in my lesson, and don't even question it until the very end when I'm the one who reveals to you what the meaning of all this was. And so they go on this journey where they stop at these infamous three stations. The first station, which all Muslims know, is a station where there are these poor people and they're by a ship. And the poor people allow for the righteous servant and for Moses to ride upon the ship. And the ship takes off. And after the ship takes off, the righteous servant goes down to the bottom section of the ship, the lower deck, and he begins to make a hole in the ship. And Moses objects to that. And he says to him, have you made a hole in the ship in order to drown its people? You have done certainly something that's very bad. The righteous servant reprimands Moses, and he tells him, did I not tell you not to speak a word? And Moses goes silent. And then it says the journey continues. It doesn't give the details of what happened to that ship. Did the righteous servant, through making the hole in the ship, cause the ship to drown? Did Moses and the righteous servant, were they affected by this? Why was it that Moses asks the righteous servant, did you make this hole in order to drown its people? And not say, why did you not make this hole? Did you make this hole in order to drown us?
Yes, the righteous servant didn't tell Moses specifically then and then why he did it. Because at the beginning, the righteous servant told Moses, just be patient with me and just continue with this journey with me. Because that's why the righteous servant didn't say, the righteous servant said, you won't be able to handle it, like this journey with me. It's like, because he's not explaining himself. But this is must be like a lesson that Moses has to learn.
Indeed. And so the journey continues and they move forward to the second station. And it says, until they found a youth. And the youth that they met was playing. And so the righteous servant, when he saw the youth, he killed the youth in front of Moses. And then this incident shocks Moses, and Moses objects. And he tells him, he says to the righteous servant, did you kill a self that had no sin upon it? Indeed, you've done an abomination. He's horrified.
Yes.
The righteous servant repeats and says the same thing to Moses. He says to him, did I not tell you that you would not be able to handle it? Did I not tell you that you're not supposed to ask me until I'm the one who mentions to you? Moses, now remembering that this was not just a random person that he met. This was somebody that he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to meet. He realizes that he had committed a mistake now twice, and that he had broken his word and his promise to the righteous servant. And Moses is determined that he will never repeat the mistake again. And so he says to the righteous servant, the next time I object, you can end the journey and I don't have to accompany you anymore. And so they continue until they reach the third and the final station. They enter into a city, the Quran says, and they ask the people of the city to feed them, but they reject and they don't feed them anything. They are bad hosts. They leave these travelers, Moses and the righteous servant, hungry. And so before they leave the city, the righteous servant and Moses noticed this wall that was about to fall down that had cracks in it. And the righteous servant goes forward and he proceeds to fix the cracks in the wall in order that it may not fall. And Moses objects to the righteous servant and he says to him, you could have taken a payment for that, you know. They were very bad hosts and they refused to do anything for us. The very least what you could have done is ask them for some money in exchange and we could have fed ourselves. The righteous servant turns to Moses and he tells them, well, that's the end of the journey between me and you. It's over. And then he proceeds to tell Moses the news, the reasoning, why he did these particular things. And he says to him, as for the first station with the poor people on the ship, there was a king who was coming behind them, who was stealing all of the ships. And so I wanted to damage the ship in order that I may save its people. And as for the second station, I was afraid that the youth was going to tire and grant big problems to the parents. And so I wished that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trade them with that which was better. And as for the third station, under the wall was a treasure, and it belonged to two orphans. And I wanted to safeguard that treasure until they reached the correct age, until they reached their full strength and full maturity. That is the news of those things which I have done, and none of it I did from my own self. And so Moses' journey had completed with the righteous servant.
Yes.
And he was ashamed of the objections that he had made. And so we have this tale, and we have these characters in the story. We have in there Moses, and we have in there the righteous servant. We have in there the youth of Moses. We have in there the ship and the people of the ship. We have in there the fish and the diseased dog. We have in there the boy who was killed. And we have in there his parents. And we have in there that which the boy was traded with, the new child that was granted to the parents. We have in there the city of the unpleasant people. And we have in there the wall that belonged to the orphans. And we have in there the orphans.
Yes.
Two boys who were orphans. And we have in there their father who placed the treasure in there. When we look at the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, we find that this story that's in the Quran, part of it, part of the identities of these characters or clues as to where and who they are given to us. We have, for example, the identity of the youth of Moses is granted to us and given to us in a Sunni hadith and also in a Shia hadith. The Sunni hadith is a narration from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is stated that the youth is Joshua, the son of Nun. And in the Shia narration, Abu Abdullah alayhi salam also confirms and states that the identity of the youth is Joshua, son of Nun. And this also goes with the Torah, because the Torah states that the successor and the companion, the student, one of the most loyal and obedient individuals to Moses, who was a youth during the prophethood of Moses, was Joshua, the son of Nun. And so now we know the identity of Moses, and we know the identity of the youth that was with Moses. Now, here's what's interesting. When you're trying to unlock the different characters and the different aspects of the story, you're trying to figure out where was it that the righteous servant took Moses, and what was the nature of the journey, and who was this righteous servant? You find that some narrations, Junaid, claim or state that the righteous servant was actually a man by the name of Al-Khidr, a character in Islam whose name is Al-Khidr. And Al-Khidr is known to be, it literally translates into the green one. That's what it means. And it is according to narrations, a particular prophet, a companion of Zulqarnain, who accompanies him on the night journey, or his journey into the darkness, right? Yes. The journey into space. And Al-Khidr is a character that appears a lot in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. He's a character that found the tree of life that Zulqarnain was looking for. He's a character that drank from that fountain of life that was around the tree of life, mm-hmm. That ended up prolonging his life. He is a character that, according to the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, was given long life as a kind of archetype or a proof against those who would deny in the future the long life of Imam al-Mahdi, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. And al-Khidr, according to the narrations, he remains alive until this very day, some say, and some narrations state. Other narrations state that he just lived a very long life. We know that in the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, what's important for us in regards to this story is that the Ahl Bayt and the Imams used to say that Al-Khidr, the green one, would come and visit them. But nobody, the narrations state, would see his identity. So Al-Khidr would come visit us, but we wouldn't see him. We would only hear him. And so Al-Khidr, by admission of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, was traveling, because the narrations state that he was a prophet from the Bani Israel. He was an Israelite prophet. And in particular, one narration states that he is Jeremiah. So this prophet lives and is talking to the Ahl Bayt, the Imams from the Ahl Bayt, in a different time than the time that he existed in. And so there's this correlation, there's this connection between Al-Khidr and his ability to penetrate through time and appear and meet different characters that don't live in the same time period as he does. So he meets with Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, but they are living, in a different time period than he is. Another narration states that yearly he would meet up with Elias. Another narration, which is the story of the righteous servant, places the Al-Khidr in the time period of Moses, even though Jeremiah was a prophet that came many years after Moses, right? And so you have Jeremiah traveling, according to the narrations, in the past to meet Moses, and you have Jeremiah also, or Al-Khidr, traveling into the future to meet with Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. The narrations that state that he traveled into the future are painting him as invisible, right? But his voice is heard. And so there's no reason to think that the same thing wasn't the case when he traveled back in time to the time of Moses, that he too was also invisible. And so there seems to be this supernatural aspect to the journey. And there's also this aspect of time travel. And so if the righteous servant has the ability to, and according to the narrations, is constantly traveling through time, one can assume too that the journey which Moses and his youth went on with the righteous servant could have perhaps been also a journey that is through time, that they were time traveling as well. And this theory is further confirmed when we examine some of the elements that are present in the story. For example, one of the elements that is present is the element of this fish that is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes its way in the sea. Here is the fish that is obedient, that is going through the sea, and it's actually referred to as a hoot. The only other time that we have a hoot or a fish that is or a whale that is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fish that we find in the story of Jonah. that swallows Jonah after his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So you have a story where Moses is disobedient to God and he has to go on this journey with God and he meets a character, and the character, the Khidr, is known to be a time traveler who's traveling through time into the future and into the past, all right? And there's this element in there, and there's this fish. And the fish, the very fish of Moses, makes its way into the sea. And there's no other obedient fish in all of Judeo-Christian Islamic narrations, right? Except for the obedient fish that took its commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to swallow a disobedient, shortcoming prophet, who was the prophet Jonah. Well, what happened in the story of the prophet Jonah? The prophet Yunus, alayhi salam, what did he do? He was trying to escape from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he found a ship that was ran by poor people. And Jonah goes into the ship, and the ship sails into the sea. And Jonah goes down to the bottom deck, and he falls asleep. Very similarly, he falls asleep like Joshua fell asleep and Moses fell asleep when they first met the righteous servant. Remember in the story where they lost the fish. So yes. Jonah also falls asleep in the lower deck of the ship as he's trying to hide from God and escape from his divine mission, right? Well, the narrations also stated that it was the righteous servant and it was Moses who they entered upon the ship, and they entered to the lower deck, right? Yes. And that's where it states that they were thinking about placing the hole, or the righteous servant was attempting to place the hole that Moses objected to, which caused the concerns that these poor people would be drowned, right? And so you have the righteous servant having taken Moses with him to board the same ship that Yunus alayhi salam was upon. And the very fish that Moses had became the very fish that swallows Jonah. And in the very end of it, the righteous servant shows how, even though the people of the ship were innocent, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even had wisdom in making this event take place with them where they almost lose their ship, that even this was an act of mercy and it was to save their ship from an unrighteous king who was coming behind them. And so the story completes like that. They move forward to the second station. And what do they find in there? They find in there a boy, and the righteous servant kills the boy. But the righteous servant, according to the Quran, well, the boy, according to the Quran, was killed because he was unrighteous. But he had parents that were righteous. And the righteous servant wanted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trade the unrighteous child for a righteous one.
Yes.
The narrations state from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ended up granting in the place of this boy, a girl, who ended up giving birth to a prophet. Well, when we look into the Holy Quran, the only other story that we have of parents who were given a girl when they were expecting a boy were the parents of Mary, alayhi salam. And they too were described as being righteous. When the Pharisees were accusing Mary, they say to her, "Why did you commit such an act, O sister of Aaron?" So there is indicative that Mary had a brother whose name was Aaron. And they say to Mary, your father was not unrighteous, and your mother was not was not a loose woman or a bad woman. And so the Quran states that the parents of the boy that was killed by the righteous servant were righteous. And the Quran also states that the parents of Mary, who were Imran and Hanna, or Joachim and Anne, were also righteous. So in both stories, the parents are righteous. And in both stories, there was a boy, Aaron. And in both stories, the parents get something which they are not expecting. Even though they were expecting a boy, what did they get? They get a girl. The righteous servant, God was going to replace that boy, but he replaces it with a girl. And in the story of Anne and Imran, the parents of Mother Mary, they're expecting a boy, but in exchange, they get a girl. And what do we have Anne saying in the Quran? She says, God, I have given birth to her, and she is a female, and the female is not like the male. The female, yes, which I gave birth to, is not like the male that I had. Okay?
Well, it makes sense.
Makes sense? And so now we have a different picture emerging. One where the righteous servant takes Moses to the future, where Moses sees the grandparents and the birth of the mother of the Messiah from his nation. And he sees that they are righteous, and he sees that the righteous servant causes for the birth of the mother of the Messiah, and he objects to it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that there is a wisdom behind it.
Well, that's incredible.
And then they move on to the third station, the station where Moses' journey ends. It was the final objection that he had. And it was in a city where there was unrighteous people, and a wall was built. And underneath the wall, there was a treasure, and it was meant for two orphans. And the two orphans were to find the treasure when they reached their age of maturity and full strength. So you have these clues, reaching the age of full strength and maturity, and a city, and their orphans. The only time that we find these themes gathered together, the three of them, is in one story. And that is the story of two boys. And those two boys are orphans. And those two boys live in a city. And those two boys are sent on a special mission when they reach, according to the Quran, their full age of maturity. And those two boys go by the name of Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, the Quran says about Moses that when he reached his age of full strength, right?
Yes.
That's when God sent him on his mission. And it also says about Moses that he lived in a city.
Yes.
فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. He woke up in the city and he was scared watching. So Moses was in the city. And also, it was Moses and Aaron, who were the brothers, who were separated from their father and from their mother. And they grew up in ancient Egypt. Moses in particular grew up in the house of Pharaoh, having been separated from his mother and his father. And the same thing for Aaron. He grew up in Egypt, having been separated as well from his parents due to the oppression and the tyranny that took place. And so the final objection that Moses had against the righteous servant was actually an objection against something that was for his own benefit, which was this treasure. If it wasn't for the righteous servant that he was constantly objecting to, Moses and Aaron would have never found the treasure that was meant for them, which was under this wall, and that kind of served as the ultimate lesson that ended the journey that they had. So I think we'll stop there, inshallah, and perhaps in a future episode we'll examine and shed light on the remaining themes in the story. And we'll speak about what was that treasure that Moses and Aaron had found or gotten from underneath the wall. And we can speak about some of the other themes as well that has to do with the story of Jesus and Jonah. And why in particular did the righteous servant choose these three stations, these three stories to stop at, and that the Quran highlights? And were there any other aspects or stations in the story that we were not given, we were not given its tale in the Holy Quran? Thank you so much for joining me, Junaid, and inshallah we'll meet again.
Thank you, Father.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.